But let me come to the Ask Kirby question, because this one was asked about, you know, when I look at America, there are days when I feel like America's best days are behind us and it's just declining, and other days when I think maybe America is going to be great again. But as I look at the scriptures, we don't have anything about America. So I thought for just a minute I'd try to answer that question. First of all, is America in prophecy? And a lot of this comes from a couple of books. I mentioned this one, Is America in Bible Prophecy, or this particular book, The Late Great United States. And these are both by Mark Hitchcock, who is a pastor in Oklahoma, but also one of our professors at Dallas Theological Seminary. And then, okay, if it's not in prophecy, has anybody speculated, as has Tim LaHaye and Gary Frazier and others, about what might happen? Now, if you turn on Christian television, you're going to have some of these televangelists say that really America is in the Bible and it is in the book of Revelation, that America is actually Babylon, because after all, in Revelation 18, it talks about smoke from buildings that are burning. And I've seen some televangelists say, well, that could be the 9/11 attack on the World Trade Center, because the world literally did see smoke from those buildings. New York City is, after all, one of the great commercial capitals of the world. It's the location of the United Nations. And in the book of Revelation, where it talks about a woman robed in scarlet, well, that's obviously got to be the Statue of Liberty. Now, let me be Paul Harvey and tell you the rest of the story. First of all, six times in the book of Revelation, the city that is described as the last day's capital of the Antichrist is specifically called Babylon, not New York. Babylon is mentioned, by the way, more than any other city except Jerusalem. And it is mentioned 290 times. And whenever it's mentioned in the scriptures, it's always talking about literal Babylon as an epitome of evil and rebellion against God. But there's another thing that kind of works against it, because Babylon is associated with the river Euphrates. Now, if we saw the river Hudson, okay, I think I might buy that, but I don't think it works very well. So for those that sometimes even call into my program and say that I'm convinced that the United States is Babylon, there are days when you can go to certain cities and think it's like Babylon, but I don't think it's the Babylon of Revelation 18. So the second thing we sometimes run into are people saying, well, when I look in the book of Isaiah, especially Isaiah 18, it has a warning for a nation that is shadowed by wings. And it's a land beyond the sea from Israel. And it's a land that is divided by a river. And so if you go to Isaiah 18, you could say, well, okay, the United States is a nation that is identified as wings. Think of the wings of the bald eagle. It's also a land, obviously, beyond the sea from Israel. And the United States is a land that is divided by what? The Mississippi River. But as we said 2 weeks ago when we talked about biblical interpretation, remember one of my phrases? Jesus is Lord and context is King. Okay, so that's part of the issue of context. What about the context? Well, the context of Isaiah 18 to 20 is a section of prophecy that relates back to the ancient nations of Egypt and Cush. Now, Cush today would be what we might call Sudan and Ethiopia, depending on how you look at the borders. But it is a land shadowed with wings, but it's not referring to the wings of an eagle. It's talking about the whirring wings of insects in the Nile Valley. And the river that divides the country is not the Mississippi River, it's the Nile River. So, again, I think that one can be easily set aside. The third one, though, that I run into, I've actually found some evangelical scholars believe that this might be possible. One in particular, an individual that I've interviewed who is a professor at the seminary at Liberty University, and that is in Ezekiel 38. This is talking about this war, this war of Gog and Magog and Meshach and Tubal. But at one point, it talks about the merchants of Tarshish with all their villages. Okay, where's Tarshish? Don't find that on my map. But remember when Jonah was supposed to go to where? Nineveh. And that's east. Where did he go? He went to Tarshish. That's west. Tarshish at that time was oftentimes identified with what we would call Spain or the things beyond the Mediterranean Sea. Now, later on, it came to also be associated with what today we might call France and Europe. So some people are saying, okay, this could mean Europe. And then when it talks about the young lions of Tarshish, that could be a reference of the colonies that emerged from Europe. So it's possible, not too many people accept it, but some do, that the lions, the young lions of Tarshish could be the United States. And if that's the case, it still would say that they're pretty insignificant because it's just sort of like a footnote compared to the other big nations. So, what happened to America? Either it's not mentioned at all, or it's mentioned at best, and most people don't even accept that, as a footnote. So how do we explain this huge, powerful nation? We're still the number one nation in the world in many ways. We're a superpower. What might have happened? One theory is this, the rapture. He talks about this in the book, that Mark Hitchcock notes that there are 42% of Americans that claim to be born-again Christians. But just because you claim to be born again doesn't necessarily mean you're born again. But nevertheless, even George Barna puts the percentage of evangelicals around 8 to 10%. And even if we're using that really small figure, we're talking about the disappearance of at least 25 million people from America. If we use the large figure, we're talking about the disappearance of about 150 million people. Now, would that have an impact? We all know churches where they might not even notice anybody left. There might be a church like Prestonwood that is pretty much empty. But what would that mean? And he talks about this. The stock market would be in a free fall. NASDAQ will plummet. Talk about a mortgage meltdown. Just imagine if all of a sudden millions of mortgages will plunge into irrecoverable default because there's nobody there to pay for the mortgages. Just think about the military. Military personnel by the thousands would be AWOL. Factory workers would never show up for work again. Can you imagine if you just lost 25 million people from this population? Imagine if you lost 150 million, the devastation that would have in a nation like America, as now it becomes a totally pagan nation. Tim LaHaye and Ed Heinsohn, for example, put it this way. They say America in particular would suffer great loss because of a high percentage of Christians who live in the United States. They said, consider what happened just in the city of New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. And he says, imagine such an impact in every major city in America. That's in their book, Global Warning, not Global Warming, Global Warning, which again talks about the devastation that the rapture might have as well. And then Charlie Dyer, who used to be one of our professors at Dallas Seminary and then has been up until recently one of the professors at Moody Bible Institute, he uses the number of 28 million. But he says, again, over 28 million Americans will suddenly disappear when God removes his church from the earth. Can you imagine the effects on our country of over 25 million people? People in industry, people in government, people in the military, people in business, in education, in medicine and communications simply disappear. So that's, you know, at least one possible scenario. The other scenario is, of course, one that was in the question that I was asked, and that is it possible that we have reached a tipping point, and it almost doesn't matter who the president of the United States is, it doesn't matter who is in Congress, maybe we're just so close that eventually we go into decline. And Gary Fraser, in his book, and again, he makes that available. Matter of fact, he has it available, I think, as a free e-book download, so you can read it if you'd like. It talks about, well, first of all, look at the cultural issues. We're living in a world of moral relativism, and so nothing is right or wrong. Everything's got to be politically correct. We are in this culture of death. But again, we see some changes rather dramatically. Did you notice that the new Gerber baby is a Down syndrome baby? Isn't that something? And of course, we've had more pro-life initiatives this year from the president, which Pastor Graham was talking about. So we'll see where that goes. Certainly, there has been a war on Christianity. And if not, just to call up my friend Kelly Shackelford and hear some of his stories about the loss of religious liberty. But what about economic? You know, when he came into power, President Trump inherited a $20 trillion national debt. It was at about $10 trillion, you know, under the previous administration. It's just been increasing over time. And so you get to the point where what is it eventually going to be unless something turns around? And this latest budget deal didn't give me any indication that we're not going to go down. Looks like it's going to go up. So what about that? We see the social turmoil. Pastor Graham today talked about just the inability of Congress to bring about any kind of lasting change, gridlock. We had another government shutdown, this time only for a few hours, in the latter part of Thursday night or Friday morning, which eventually they solved, but political ineffectiveness. But even another issue, as we look at the Olympic Games this week, we have both North Korea and South Korea, and North Korea still has nuclear weapons. What if North Korea someday, in a moment of insanity with this Kim Jong-un, decides to launch one of those towards the United States? If you exploded in the upper atmosphere, it might not kill people directly, but indirectly it would, because it would short out all of our electronics. Just imagine what that would be like. That would devastate America. But maybe even if it lands on some part of the mainland, just imagine that that part now is radioactive and people are destroyed, or even a terrorist attack or something like that. So we can begin to see that we're facing some really major challenges. And if nothing else, if you don't believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, I hope this would cause you to believe in it, right? Because if nothing else, I don't want to be around if indeed there no longer is the United States of America a place where God is using it. And of course, God does not need the United States of America, but we are still one of the great mission-sending countries in the world. If you go to Westminster Abbey, you will see on the gravestone for both, interestingly enough, both Wesleys, John Wesley and Charles Wesley, two quotes from John Wesley. The second one is, "God buries his workmen, but continues his work." It's from an old phrase in which he said, God buries his ministers, but continues his ministry. And God can bury England. It's no longer a mission-sending country, and his work continues on. God could bury the United States of America, and there are still lots of missionaries coming from other countries like Brazil and South Korea and other places. But I think God would still like to use the United States of America. So pray for our president, pray for Congress, and certainly pray for the future of this country, that God might still use it and us to bring the gospel around the world.